Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Mr. Rather, great pleasure to meet you, a real honor.
It's a great pleasure for me to be here. Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you, I mean, there's so many challenges facing journalists today. What do you see as the biggest problems we face in trying to get the news out there?
Well, I think they are the corporatization, politicalization, and trivialization of the news, which is a result in no small part because very large corporations in North America control no less than 80% of the true national, I would say, continent-wide news distribution. And these extremely large corporations, there are only about six of them, are in bed with the powers that be in our nation's capital, particularly in Washington, whether they be Republican or Democratic administrations. And so they're serving each other's interest, not in the public interest. And I think that's a core problem. I find more and more people understand it, and I hope they do.
And should we be reporting on that more?
Absolutely. We should be reporting on more. But it's not my thing to give advice. I talk about whenever I can, because we were all taught no later than seventh grade civics class that a free press and really, truly independent, fiercely independent press when necessary is the red beating heart of freedom and democracy. So it's not just an issue for journalists. It's an issue that every citizen should be involved with.
And in your book, you do talk about your own problems with CBS and the lawsuit. And why is that important for you to keep that going?
Well, I didn't want to keep it going, frankly. But I wanted to put in hard covers what it was really like to cover Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, Vietnam, Watergate, and so forth. But I realized that if I didn't deal with what happened at CBS, people would say, oh, sure, he's ducking and dodging it. If I put it in the book, people would say, well, that's what the book's about. So it was a dilemma. But in short, you know, it's been 8 years since we ran the George Bush story, which resulted in my and some other good journalists getting run off from CBS News. And it's been 6 years since I worked at CBS News. I'm well past it. I don't think about it much anymore. I'm passionate about what I'm doing now, doing my own news program. But for anybody who wants to know what happened, what really happened, it is in the book. And what really happened, in short, we reported a true story. There's no dispute about the truth of the story. One, that a young George Bush got into a special so-called champagne unit of the National Guard in Texas on his father's influence to make sure that he didn't have to go to Vietnam. Unpleasant truth, but absolutely true. And by the way, George W. Bush has never denied that. Truth number two, once he got in the service, after he got off to an okay start, he disappeared for a year. In the U.S. Army and the Canadian Army, you can't disappear overnight, much less for a year. Now, one can like it or not like it. There was no joy in reporting the story. Those are the two truths. But because they were true, highly partisan and ideological, inspired people who didn't want the hard truth out, they put the pressure on us. And frankly, the corporation folded, didn't back us. And that's what happened. But it's been a long time ago. I can understand someone saying, look, I don't care about that. And I say amen to that. But if you do care about it, it's about one-fourth of the book, and that's all.
And how do you think that social media has affected the way we report news today?
Well, social media has affected it greatly, and I don't think we've seen anywhere near the end of it. And I don't think that's altogether a bad thing at all. But with Facebook, Twitter, all of the social media things, for one thing, news organizations and reporters now have to pay a lot of attention to it. That gives them less time to wear out shoe leather and go talk to people, make telephone calls. So it feeds on itself, which is the downside of it, which is to say, if you're a reporter covering City Hall, very few reporters do anymore, or the state legislature, your boss is on the phone saying, listen, can you match so-and-so's Facebook page, or can you match that Twitter feed? But I think overall in the main it's been a plus.
Last question, how do you think Obama's doing in Afghanistan?
Well, in Afghanistan, I'm not optimistic about Afghanistan. I always want to say in Canada, by the way, if you'll allow me to do so, that those of us in the United States deeply appreciate Canada sending some of its sons and daughters to Afghanistan. Canada didn't have to do that. I've been with Canadian troops in Helmand Province and other bad neighborhoods in Afghanistan. I never want to come to this country and not say, we really appreciate you being at our back and side. Whatever you think of the war, we appreciate you backing us up. Now, with President Obama in Afghanistan, he inherited the Afghanistan situation. And I can't see a positive outcome to the extent we can say we, quote, won the war. I do think that it will be an issue in the presidential campaign. It is an issue. But, you know, American presidential campaigns, foreign policy issues, very seldom are decisive, and it won't be decisive, that they will, in Washington's parlance, quote, kick the can down the road, put as many decisions as they can until after the election.
Dan Rather, thank you so much. Wish
well,
we could talk
so
for an
much.
Hour.
I appreciate it.
See you again soon.
See you again soon. Love to talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.